For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Good morning, my friends. Happy Friday to you. Let's get our heads right on a Friday morning. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. What a morning indeed. It is and will be throughout the day. Very excited to be here with you on a Friday. It's been a long week. Been a very fruitful week as well for the Ben and Woods program. And, San Diego as a whole, at least the last couple nights, as far as our baseball team is concerned. What a game last night. If you fell asleep, Hannah, you really missed out on quite a moment. Caitlin in the chat, she also fell asleep. She's also a big Jake Cronenworth fan. Missed the walk-off home run by Crony last night. Thank you, Crony, for bailing your old pals Ben and Woods out today. I did not want to talk to Country Ben today after blowing a 2-run lead in the 9th inning. I did not want to talk to Country Ben today. And I think it's going to be a little bit better tone and tenor. I'm Woodsy.
That was sexy.
Hey, it was sexy. Thank you, Skip. I am Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer. And what a night for Paulie last night. Just dropping D on everyone at his Tier 1 basketball game. What did you get, 16, 18 points?
Something like that, yeah. We had a big win. We're in the – it's kind of like sour, sweet and sour.
Sure.
We're in the consolation bracket, which isn't ideal.
Not ideal, but...
But we're also playing up a division.
You're playing up a division.
So we're in the consolation bracket. So we had the semifinals yesterday.
And you won.
Big win.
Huge.
So we're in the... So the Tier 1 baseball team is going for a championship on Sunday. The Tier 1 basketball team going for a championship next Thursday.
Tier 1s are just done. Tier 1s won the golf tournament the other day, too. I mean, we're really quite a sporty bunch.
What does playing up a division mean? Are you like a double-A team playing in triple-A?
Yeah, or? They have like D1, D2, D3, and I think maybe even a D4.
That would be for me.
We've been playing D3 for the last like 5 seasons, and we signed up for D3. I didn't even realize about halfway through the season, why are we in D2? They didn't.
Just getting your ass kicked every week.
Why does every team have like 3 guys that just don't miss? I'm like, oh, we're up a level. They didn't have enough teams in D3, so they consolidated D3 and D4, and we ended up staying in D2. And yeah.
Well, you made the consolation bracket, and you won the game.
It's
and
like you accidentally put San Diego State in the SEC one season.
Yeah, because
they were down a team in football.
They're like, oh, what? Okay, I guess we'll do it for 100%. The exposure. But, you know, hey, listen, it probably made you a little better. But you weren't feeling great. Nobody was yesterday at all. And
we had 6 guys, so we had 1 sub. So if anybody got hurt, at one point I was like, I'm feeling a little nauseous, not feeling good. And we powered through. We got the win.
We've had those adult ball games where 9 guys show up and you have a doubleheader. Yeah. And you're like, this is going to be the longest
Alex
day of my
is
life.
In the chat. He's on the team. He says, up a division really means it's a bunch of 30 and 40-year-olds going up against 20-year-olds that just graduated college or played college ball
sure.
or something.
Yeah, and I already got a text from the Tier 1 commissioner of the league asking, are the Tier 1s moving up a division next year, 18, like double A? And I said, sure, that's what you want. We'll figure it out. So we've got to win this championship this weekend, though. We'd love to see you guys out at Orange Glen High at 1 p.m. That's where it starts. And then if we win that game, we go to Escondido High at 5:30 for the ship. But we got to get through game one first. Not looking past those guys at all. But excited, man. It should be a fun weekend. It's been a really fun week. Benjamin Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. You are here this morning. You look much better than yesterday.
A little friendlier than yesterday. Yesterday was rough. Feeling a little bit better this morning. Got some sleep last night. Obviously, it's been an exhausting week. But you're right, it helps a little bit for the Padres to get a walk-off win. Everyone just feels a little bit better this morning.
Yeah, man, it really, really does. It changes a little bit of the vibe going into the weekend, certainly. But it was much needed, and it almost got away. And, of course, we've got all day to talk about that. I wanted to share with you guys in the Tier 1 something that happened yesterday that is truly, truly surreal and mind-blowing. Strap in for this one. And, Ben, I'm going to ask you for a little bit of, I'm interested to see your take on this. I got a phone call from somebody. I'm going to leave his name out of the story. But I got a phone call from somebody that I consider a dear, dear friend. And we check in with each other quite a bit. And he said to me, I haven't told you everything that's going on. I said, no, you haven't. And he said, I got a phone call from the FBI. I said, what? I said, oh, you done did it now.
What did you do?
What did you do? And I thought to myself, oh, man, I hope you're not caught up in anything major. And he said, no, got a phone call from the FBI. He said, do you remember when my father passed away 4 years ago? I said, I do. Yeah, awful, awful for you. You know, he's a younger guy. He's younger than me. He said, man, have you heard this story going on in Colorado? And I said, oh, I said, it vaguely, fill me in. He said, can you do lunch this week? I said, sure. I said, it works out perfectly. I've got 3 hours to kill between our roundtable on Thursday and the CEO meeting. And so, yeah, I'll come up to you. We'll go get lunch and we'll go hang out, sit down and start talking about what happened. Essentially, guys, his father picked this funeral home in Colorado 4 years ago. And he was sick. He was passing away of cancer. He wanted to get his affairs in order. So he actually chose this funeral home because they are a green funeral home.
Eco-friendly.
Eco-friendly. Do things allegedly the right way. And so he says to me, yeah, you know, we got his ashes. We went. We did a big ashes spreading ceremony at Mammoth. We put his ashes in the river and the whole thing. It was cathartic and awful and beautiful and everything that comes with losing a parent like that. He said, turns out, though, my father was one of the guys that the FBI had found in this funeral home's basement.
Oh.
Along with 189 other bodies that have been stacked in the basement of this funeral home in Colorado. And I just go, oh, girl, I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. And he said, it's been, and I said, all right, well, first things first, how are you? You know, this is gnarly. He goes, it's so beyond gnarly. I can't even, he goes, I have good days with it and I have bad days with it. He said, my mind wanders to that place of like, that was my dad down there in a basement when I thought I had him, you know, in my this urn, and then I thought I had spread his ashes.
So, wait, what? So what were they? Why were they keeping the bodies?
So
what was going on here?
So they had some major.
And what did they give him?
Right. So they had some major financial issues. There was a husband and wife team. In Colorado, they had two funeral homes, one in Colorado Springs and then one in like a little smaller town, Penrose. It's called small Rocky Mountain town of Penrose. Investigator people started to notice something is not right. There is a putrid smell coming out of the Penrose building. Had a makeshift refrigeration unit, but those weren't working when the bodies were found. And I said to him, I said, all right, like, why did they do this? I was trying to wrap my head around it. And he said to me, and I said, were they like harvesting stuff? He goes, no. He goes, because I think when you're, you know, when you pass away, you can you can donate your body to science and things like that.
But there's not much left.
There's not much left
that you can do with a body.
Correct. What they're doing, let's say, Ben, you want to be cremated. And I say, okay, it's $2,000. You give me $2,000. Let's say it costs $500 for the process of the cremation. Well, I'm not going to even do anything. I'm just going to take your $2,000 and not actually go through with it. And so I talked to him about it, and I just said, I go, are you thinking about it pragmatically at all? Like, well, it was just a vessel. It's not my dad. He goes, yeah, I do have those moments. And then, my mind wanders to my dad's been down there for 4 years, and I thought, now you have to relive everything that happened, and you have to re-mourn. It's almost like your father passes away twice.
Yeah.
You know? And so I said, what did they send you? And he goes, honestly, he goes, the investigators told me they found a huge order that was around the same time for quick dry concrete. And I go, oh, were they like building a? He goes, no. They were sending bags and urns full of quick dry concrete.
Because it looks like ashes.
So then he kind of laughed, and he goes, what's funny is like, we poured concrete into a river, like a lot of concrete into a river. And I go, man, I am so sorry to hear that. And he goes, do you know how weird? He goes, I fully know this is going to be like a Netflix documentary. Like, I know there's going to be like something, because it's a married couple. He goes, it's a very salacious story. Man, he started telling me about the text messages between the couple. And it said, a couple text exchange, my one and only focus is keeping us out of jail. They were thinking about selling off assets to cover their expenses, worried about losing everything if they were exposed. This is pretty gnarly. He says, I want to take a shower as soon as I get back, because while I was making the transfer, I got people juice on me. And then the next text to his wife was, want the double cheeseburger, lettuce wrapped with everything, minus tomatoes, please. Insane. Absolutely insane. So I just put my arms around him, told him I loved him, told him I'm sorry, and he said the FBI is going to be coming to his home in the next week to sit down and talk about it. Now, the cool thing was, he said my dad was a bit of a rabble-rouser in his life. He worked in the fundraising business, and he said what he would do, it really through no fault of his own, but he would get jobs with fundraising departments, including a local university and things like that. And he said he would get in, kind of look around and go, there's a lot of corruption here. There's a lot of things going wrong here. There's a lot of unexplained lunches and expenses. He was kind of an S-stirrer, right? Mm-hmm. Like coming in saying, no, this isn't right. And they said, you know, hey, this is how we do things here. Well, that's not right. You're stealing. You're a charity. And he helped expose a lot of corruption. He goes, I think he would be so happy
almost
to
like
know.
A forensic accountant comes in and goes, these numbers don't add up.
And, you know, people would try to silence him and quiet him. He goes, I really think, the thing that's giving me the most peace is I really think he would enjoy knowing he's a part of bringing these people down. And I said, man, I feel that. Like, if that helps you sleep, I fully subscribe to that. I said, but what a gnarly story, like, that you're a part of this. A guy I love. I adore him. I've been friends with him for a long time. And, yeah, he's pretty shaken by the whole thing. I just said, man, I cannot imagine. I told Hannah, I said, you know, I've said this on the air before. I want to be cremated as well. And I said, but I don't want you to, I'll maybe spread a little bit of me some places I love. I'm going to send you to some far-flung areas, too, just to be a pain in the ass forever. And I said, I want all these kids to have an urn, and I want them to have to carry it around everywhere, every apartment they live in. Here's dad. Like, I want to be a pain in your ass for the rest of your lives. I said, but I want you to see me go in to the thing, and you stand there with a cup at the end, like a soft serve machine. You know what I mean? Like, they push me in, and it comes out of the cup.
The buffet tray, slide it over.
And then, okay, here's your dad. Like, I want you to see it. Because I don't want to get this. I don't want this to happen to me, number one. And number two, I don't want to, like, them looking around going, is that him? Or it doesn't matter. Just give him some ashes. I want to make sure I'm with my family for the rest of my life and their lives and all that. It's important to me. The thought of being, you know, I know it's just my body. I know it's not my soul or whatever. But if I did know, I can't bear the thought of being in Jim and Cindy Johnson's living room and, you know, my kid's got somebody else or my wife has somebody else and her new husband. you know, looking at her ex-husband or her late husband. You know, I couldn't bear the thought. So it was really crazy that he's a part of this. It's a national story. I mean, it is everywhere.
My my biggest takeaway, and hopefully your friend, you know, I would think that I could say it's not really my dad there. It's just an empty vessel, as you said.
Yep.
But the one thing that is very real and is very nightmare fuel is a basement filled with like almost 200 decomposing bodies. That really existed.
It really existed.
And that is horrifying.
Yeah, and so
that is nightmare fuel.
So I said to him, "How deep have you gone?" He goes, "I started to read one article, and it was talking about the bugs and flies." And he goes, "I shut my computer. I was done." I go, "I go, buddy, don't do it until if you're ready one day to really, you know." I have a little bit of morbid curiosity in me, not when it would come to my parents. You know, I would be so incensed by the whole thing. Now, another interesting part. Homeboy is a flight risk. The husband is a flight risk based on some texts and things that they have of his. She isn't. She's out on bail, living in Penrose, doing DoorDash, delivering groceries to families of victims that they have done this to. And my mind just went, God. You know? And so, yeah, dude, it was like, I sat at lunch yesterday. I was exhausted, but I sat like this in rapt attention, just going, holy crap, man. So, yeah, hugged him at the end, you know, told him, please call me after the FBI leaves your condo and let me know how it goes. But, yeah, very, very gnarly story. Very gnarly story. So I wanted to share. Yeah, I asked him. I said, "Can I share that story?" He goes, "Absolutely, please." Like, it's just another reminder of like, do your research. I guess you know, there's really no way to tell if you're getting scammed or whatever. Just watch your back. I think is the moral of the story. Watch your back, and try to make the best decision that you can. Reputable places and whatnot. And yeah, very, very crazy, crazy story.
Just when you think Bennett Woods is going to zig, we zag.
That's exactly
right. To start the mornings, let's just jump off from there and probably get into some, you know, Padres stuff in a minute. We'll set the menu when we come back and get to the highlights. What a game last night. I mean, there's a lot to break down in a 7-6 win, not just the walk-off home run, but, you know, top to bottom, that game had many, many key moments to open the homestand. So we'll talk all about that coming up. Set the menu first, a quick check of traffic, and then we are off and running. It is Friday. Glad to have everybody with us on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We're just talking about, did you watch the Rick Wood Field game yesterday? I watched it as well.
It's awesome.
And we'll discuss it a little bit later today, probably at 8:30 during our Rindel Report. But it was, well, let me just say, it's easy to be cynical about, you know, big events that Major League Baseball puts on. I think for the most part they did a really nice job last night on that Cardinals Giants game in Alabama at the oldest professional ballpark in America, and Fox for the most part did a good job as well with the entire broadcast and the event.
Yeah, I mean, other than Human Ambien himself, Joe Davis calling the game, it was great. It was great.
Didn't get a chance to watch any. I saw the clip. Did they play like a whole half inning in black and white?
Yeah, old style with the old camera angles like
cool.
They used to.
It was pretty cool.
I certainly wouldn't want to watch a whole game like that.
No. It was, I mean, it was cool. Bo came in and asked, what's this game? You know, and I told him about it and the significance of it. And then we were talking about Willie Mays. And I showed him a picture or a video of the catch, you know, and he watched the catch and he goes, oh, that's easy. And I go, it's not. It's not easy. He goes, oh, that's an easy catch. I go, it's not. He said, yeah.
He didn't even get under it. I mean.
I go, Bo, he's in a, it wasn't a World Series game. Wasn't it? I go, he's in a dead sprint. His back's to the infield. He looks, he doesn't even really look back. He puts his glove up, catches it, turns around, makes a great throw. It's easy. I go, you have what it takes to be a ball player if you think that was an easy catch. I was like, why don't you catch one in the infield that pops up straight to you first, and then we'll worry about the ones over the shoulder. But I tweeted he's going to be a natural fit on Padres Twitter one day.
They had a moment of silence for Willie Mays at Petco Park last night, and then Willie Mays' name got invoked again later in the day when Jackson Merrill hit his sixth home run in the past eight games, and, you know, the statistical gurus dug into the archives to find, has any other 21-year-old or younger center fielder ever done that in their lives? And then, of course, there was only one who has ever done that at age 21 or younger, and it is Willie Mays. And now Jackson Merrill has done it, six home runs in a span of eight games.
It's good company,
which
man.
Is pretty incredible. We'll go through the entire game with our Padres wrap-up coming up in our next segment. If you did not hear the radio highlights last night, I certainly recommend that you stay tuned to hear Jesse's walk-off call, the longest home run of the season by a San Diego Padre, back-to-back home runs in the first inning. There were also some absolutely key defensive plays and, yeah, some bullpen hijinks that made that game quite a bit more stressful than it needed to be. But we'll talk about it all coming up in our next segment, our Padres wrap-up. 7 o'clock hour, take on Woods. Last chance this week to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas, along with Don't Do This. And then we'll talk more Padres baseball. Paulie has it planned on the rundown. We mentioned it yesterday. This is the six-year anniversary of Ice Cube's...
Five-year
anniversary of Ice Cube's appearance here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan, when I got to read raps for Ice Cube. So we're going to do a little throwback. Ben reads raps today.
Oh, good.
Coming up at 7:50, like we used to do on Fridays in the past. So we will bring that back today. Just a little special one-off for you. 8 o'clock, it is a Grand Ole Barbecue Friday. That means Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue is going to be with us to talk some baseball in our 8 o'clock hour. As I mentioned, Rindel Report at 8:35 because... on Fridays, we talk to the manager. Our manager's report with Mike Schilt at 9 o'clock. And, you know, be kind of mixed bag since we last talked to Mike Schilt. Five-game losing streak, but also two wins. And coming back home with the walk-off victory last night should at least soften the conversation just a little bit after what happened the last couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you have to ask him about the bullpen woes right now, certainly, and Yuki Matsui it probably being at the forefront of those. And he did explain, and I didn't stay up for the postgame, and I rarely do, especially when we're going to talk to him the next day. The explanation of why Estrada and not Suarez last night is an interesting one. We could talk about that, certainly. But yeah, man, great win. Great win. Almost a devastating loss. But, you know, we don't complain about wins around here, but we can dig deep into what the hell's going on with the bullpen. And there's some major issues there.
And then we still have one more pair of Doobie Brothers tickets to give away, like we have done all week long. You just have to listen for our special Doobie Brothers sounder.
But what a fool believes!
All right, that could come at any time when you hear it, either during the show, during a break, whenever. Call 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, and we'll send you to the Doobie Brothers, who are going to be performing on June 25th at North Island Credit Union Amphitheater. Last pair of tickets to win this week. So that's what we have planned for you today. Let's take a break because I want to come back. We have so much to talk about from last night's game. I want to get an early start here on our Padres wrap-up. It's coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Woods just pointed out to me that it is National Flip-Flop Day, a very important holiday for me, as I am not only wearing my flip-flops, as I always do, but I'm also wearing my Flying Chonklas hat, which is the AA alternates for the San Antonio Missions. Chonklas, of course, Spanish for flip-flops. So, happy National Flip-Flop Day out there.
What are the odds? And you didn't know.
I did not know.
That,
just a coincidence.
You wear that hat not very often.
No.
That's wild. Just works out that way sometimes.
Goes well with our color scheme today because it's a City Connect Friday. Paulie's wearing his Padres City Connect hat. We've got our City Connect colors on our YouTube stream today.
Yeah, we do.
Woods, even you're in kind of a pink, like City Connect pink.
Yeah, I like this color.
Goes well today. Everybody's on theme on a Friday, just kind of accidentally.
It's like a salmon. Is this a salmon?
Salmon, no. I'd say it's a little darker
coral.
Than a salmon.
Coral!
I like that, Paulie.
I like that.
Coral.
I like that.
Very nice. All right, this hour on Bennett Woods is brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Join the free smoothie party at Tropical Smoothie Cafe today, June 21st, for National Smoothie Day. We're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with a bowl or food purchase. Order in the app, online, or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic fam. Terms and conditions apply. All right, we're going to get to our Padres wrap-up. Now, correct me if when the game started, and I knew it's Adam Major on the mound, and the bullpen is somewhat depleted going into this game. I thought, okay, you probably need to score at least 7 or 8 runs to win this game.
No question.
I never had a doubt that that was what it was going to take. Even after they scored 4 in the first, I go, that's a good start. That's not enough. If you don't score again, you're not going to win this game.
Yeah.
And for a while, then, you know, it stayed 4-1. I go, well, maybe I'm wrong about that. No, I was right. They needed to score more runs. Of course, they did. It took a walk-off home run. We'll get the call of the walk-off and the rest of the action last night in our Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Now the 2-2, Yelich swings, grounds it to first base. Arise has it in front of the bag, coming home. The slide and the tag, not in time. Durang just in, feet first, ahead of the tag from Luis Campusano. Padres, of course, will take a look and see if they want to challenge it. It was a bang, bang play at home plate. Manny waits, here it comes. And Machado swings, hits it in the air to deep right field. Frelick is back towards the corner. He's at the wall, looking up, going to go! 3-run homer, Manny Machado. Just like that, the Padres lead it 3-1 here in the first. 0-2 hit in the air. Deep to right field towards the pole. Jackson Merrill has done it again. 9th of the season for Merrill. Goes deep in back-to-back games and has now homered 3 times in his last 2 games here at Petco Park. It's 4-1. 1-2, Adames swings, hits it in the air to deep center. Merrill sprinting straight back at the wall. It's going to go. Line drive, home run, straight away center field. Team leading 13th of the season for Adames. This is a one-run game now, 4-3 in the fifth. That's it in the air to deep left field. Forget it. Yelich not even going to turn around. Second deck in left, and Fernando with his 14th of the year extends the lead. 446 feet, and his third hit of the night. Padres in front, 5-3. Here's the pitch. Swung on, lined it to left field. Yelich to his left, lost it in the lights, and it gets beyond him. Fernando's racing to third. He's going to be waved. Tatis on his way home. The throw is cut. And another miscue defensively for the Brewers gives the Padres their sixth run of the night. 1-1, the pitch. Turang swings, lines it the other way, and that is down in front of Peralta. Base hit. They are going to wave Ortiz around, and he will score just ahead of the throw. RBI single, Bryce Turang, his third knock of the night. It is now 6-4 here in the eighth inning, and you got to figure that'll be all for Wandy Peralta. Here's the pitch from Estrada. It bounces in, kicks away, and the run is going to score. Yelich in from third. Behind the play, Bowers goes to second, a wild pitch, and now a 6-5 game. Here's the 2-2. Hoskins swings, muscles it in the air to deep left field as Zokar's going back. He will leap up, can't make the catch, hits against the wall. This will tie the game. Bowers has scored. Hoskins at his second with an RBI double, and it's 6-6. Pitch number 7 on the way, and Cronenworth swings, hits it in the air to deep right field. Way back, gonna go! For the third consecutive game here at Petco Park, the Padres hit a walk-off home run. Higashioka and Merrill. And now Jake Cronenworth, who throws his helmet as he approaches home plate. The Padres beat the Brewers 7-6.
Pretty impressive, pretty amazing. Grit squad, strikes. Especially coming back. Fought the whole way down, you know, Mazer battled. Get the lead, right back, extend, have it late, can't hold on to it, right. And just found a way. And clearly a big swing by Crony and third walk-off in a row at home.
Right.
Good stuff. Memorable. Historic, probably.
Indeed it was. After a little bit of research, they found out that is the first time in Padres franchise history that they've had three consecutive home games end with walk-off home runs. Of course, the first two happened at the end of the last homestand against the Oakland A's. Kyle Higashioka, Jackson Merrill, and now Jake Cronenworth keeps the streak going. Who's going to make it tonight, four in a row, with another walk-off? Do we have to have a walk-off every day?
We can just win a normal game and hold a lead in the ninth and have our bullpen not give up any runs. And yeah, that would be the preferable prescription for a victory tonight. But we all realize baseball does not work that way.
Hey, if you're going to blow a lead, at least have the walk-off after that.
The feeling of deflation when they tied the game off of Estrada in my home by me was painful. I mean, it was painful. I just looked up and I said, please, please don't do this. I'm begging you, don't do this. They did it.
Let's start at the beginning, though, because not heard in that highlight package was probably the most important play of the game other than the walk-off home run. And that was in the first inning when Adam Mazur was
dying.
In trouble. A run was in. The bases were loaded. He was on the ropes already. You could easily see that getting away from him. The Padres having to go to a bullpen day in the first or second inning, and they would not have been able to overcome that. And Manny Machado started an incredible double play to get out, I think it was on Hoskins, to get out of the first inning with just the one run allowed. He made a terrific play, and then the throw to second with a great scoop and turn by Jake Cronenworth. I mean, just to make that catch and get the one out is probably above and beyond, but then to make the turn, and then Arise made a nice scoop. You never thought that even had a chance to be a double play, and it really stabilized things and, of course, allowed the Padres to take that 4-1 lead in the bottom of the first inning. But that game could have gone very bad very quickly if not for a terrific play by Manny Machado.
Yeah, I mean, that's correct me if I'm wrong. You can't make that play if you're on the IL. Is that right? I don't know much about baseball, but I do know if you're on the IL, that's not one.
I don't think Donovan Solano makes that play at third.
Ben.
Okay, he doesn't make that play at third. Probably nobody else on the roster makes that play at third.
Huh. Interesting.
That was a Manny Machado special.
Interesting.
And then,
very interesting.
And then he goes the other way, you know, moments later for the 3-run shot. And
now, hold on. Is that? Can you do that?
You cannot.
No.
Oh, you cannot.
I was told that's where he should be.
I mean, there was a conversation.
Purple says half the roster makes that play. Purple, I know who you are.
Don't be an idiot.
Should I put him in timeout?
No, you don't put him. Is that Bo? That's an easy catch.
Yeah, Bo. That's an easy double play. That's an easy double play. No, really, the pick from Crony was nasty. I mean, as nasty. Now, that's, you know, you second baseman, you're now a first baseman on that play. And Jake's got plenty of reps over it at the one bag and makes just a fantastic pick, turn, gets a guy by half a step, and out of that inning, man, which is huge. I honestly was watching last night, and you could feel it, like, spiraling on Major. I don't know what to make of Adam Major. I don't look at him and say, well, listen, he's got really, I don't look at him and say he's got really, really good stuff. He just needs some time to work it out. I honestly, Benny, I look, and with the walks and stuff, the lack of control, and the fat pitches, man, fat pitches. He threw a couple of decent sliders, a decent changeup, but man, some of the sliders were spinning right in the zone, and the fastballs were fat.
I think what is hopefully encouraging is that it's not like that was ever a part of his game in the minors. He doesn't walk people.
Right.
It seems to be maybe a, you know, big moment pressure, you know, trying to adjust to the big league level, being too fine. I think at some point Adam Major is going to be a big league pitcher. I don't see him as an ace of the staff type, but I can see him as a, you know, end of the rotation. Yep. Solid starter, but there's still some work to be done, you know, to get there in the big league level.
And he did pretty well.
He stabilized after that, and nearly made it through five innings.
Almost made it through five.
Until the two-run home run by Adames. But I would imagine that was his last start. He will probably go back down. I would think today you send him back down to AAA and you call up a bullpen arm to have another option out of what is a fatigued bullpen. And then in 4 days, you can call Yu Darvish up off the injured list to make the next start. But that would give you an extra arm available for the next 4 days or so.
Yeah, and you wonder what the corresponding move is going to be. Could be Logan Gillespie. Could be Tom Cosgrove. You have no idea. But they definitely need some help in there ASAP because the bullpen is 100% battered right now, man. And I was looking up some numbers of some of the guys in there. And look, as much as we want Yuki Matsui to be the guy, I just don't know that he's the guy right now. I'm not saying he's never going to be the guy, but Ben, he's got a 4 ERA in 34 appearances. Okay, he's pitched 31 in a third innings. He has struck out 27, not bad. He's walked 20 batters. 20 batters. That is unacceptable.
And so many of those feel like they were the first batter of the inning.
Yeah, man, 100%.
Which just puts you in such a bad spot. Now, I haven't seen the numbers, but it feels like when Yuki Matsui comes in and the Padres are down 3.
I got him. You want him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Low leverage.
Yeah.
Hitters 163 with a 486 OPS. Perfect. Low leverage situations. High leverage, 241, 760 OPS. Of the 42 batters he's faced in high leverage, he struck out 12. But he's also walked 9, allowed 2 doubles and a triple. Not quite the setup stuff that you're looking for from Yuki Matsui. And which is fine. I mean, like, use him in the role in which he is best accustomed. I don't know that it's the role he was used in last night. As much as we want it to be that way, as devastating as that splitter looked early in the year, if you can't land it if you can't keep it in the zone to make it look like a strike, you don't have the overpowering other pitches to get out.
You know, last night's game was such a microcosm of the Padres' bullpen because Matsui actually didn't give up a run because Wandy Peralta came in and struck out Gary Sanchez. Great job by Wandy Peralta. But then Wandy comes out the next inning and walks 2 batters.
Yep.
And then one run comes around to score. And then De Los Santos comes in and he gets a big strikeout. And then Jeremiah Estrada, obviously, who Mike Shildt said this after the game.
Because this is what I was curious about.
Why Jeremiah Estrada? Why not Robert Suarez? Both had been used the previous 2. Jeremiah Estrada had pitched 4 of 5 days now. But Mike Shildt said, I went to both of those guys to just check on their availability before the game. And I said, be honest. You know, how do you feel? And Robert Suarez said, I would love to be able to go, but I think I need a day. And Shildt said, you got it. Robert, you are off. You got that quote
the fact
here?
That Estrada was able to take the ball.
I give him a ton of credit, man. You know, we were both him and Suarez had gone back to back, took their temperature before the game. I want to be mindful of it. Suarez was honest, like, look, man, I love this group because I always say they can go, but we always you know, like, hey, no, really, how do you feel? And he's like, I could use a day. So we clearly respect that. Jeremiah said, I'm good. I feel good. I can take the ball. And, you know, he had a longer in than we'd liked. It was the last hitter he was going to face. But, man, my admiration for him taking the ball and doing that is very high.
I think the other, I mean, you know, one of the ways that could have gone out of control was when they all came out and met with Major about Willy Adames. And essentially, you know what the message there was. It was, all right, one swing and they're right back in this game. Adam, we need you to execute here. And when Willy hit it, I just immediately thought, well, who could have seen that coming right there? I'm not putting that on Schilt at all. Willy Adames is a really good player, put a good swing on a pitch that was up in the zone and pounded it out, man. And it just... But when you don't have a ton of options down there that are well-rested, ready to go, managing this bullpen can be a nightmare.
You know, it's easy to say Jeremiah Estrada failed because he blew the save, he gave up the lead, and that's not your job when you come into the ninth inning. However, and I was listening to Sammy Leavitt last night on the postgame show, and I think it's a good point that you need to get 27 outs to win the baseball game. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, hold everybody in check, but you have to get to the finish line. And the Padres needed someone to get to the finish line. And even though he gave up the two runs, he did come up with two big strikeouts to at least get it to 6-6 to the bottom of the ninth where Jake Cronenworth won it. So while he didn't do what the way you would like it to be done, he did enough that the Padres were able to win that game.
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, didn't cough it up.
Sometimes you have to win games like that. That was always going to be a game, as I said. You got to score 7-8 runs to win that game. With Major on the mound against a Brewers team like that, that was never going to be a 3-1 win. Woods just pointed out to me that it is National Flip-Flop Day, a very important holiday for me, as I am not only wearing my flip-flops, as I always do, but I'm also wearing my Flying Chonklas hat, which is the AA alternates for the San Antonio Missions. Chonklas, of course, Spanish for flip-flops. So, happy National Flip-Flop Day out there.
What are the odds? And you didn't know.
I did not know. That, just a coincidence.
You wear that hat not very often.
No.
That's wild. Just works out that way sometimes.
Goes well with our color scheme today because it's a City Connect Friday. Paulie's wearing his Padres City Connect hat. We've got our City Connect colors on our YouTube stream today.
Yeah, we do.
Woods, even you're in kind of a pink, like City Connect pink.
Yeah, I like this color.
Goes well today. Everybody's on theme on a Friday, just kind of accidentally.
It's like a salmon. Is this a salmon?
Salmon, no. I'd say it's a little darker
coral.
Than a
salmon.
Coral! I like that, Paulie.
I like that. Coral.
Coral.
I like that.
Very nice. All right, this hour on Ben and Woods is brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Join the free smoothie party at Tropical Smoothie Cafe today, June 21st, for National Smoothie Day. We're treating our Tropic Rewards members to a free smoothie with a bowl or food purchase. Order in the app, online, or pop by the cafe for a little sip and chill. Three cheers to our Tropic fam. Terms and conditions apply. All right, we're going to get to our Padres wrap-up. Now, correct me if when the game started, and I knew it's Adam Major on the mound, and the bullpen is somewhat depleted going into this game. I thought, okay, you probably need to score at least 7 or 8 runs to win this game.
No question.
I never had a doubt that that was what it was going to take. Even after they scored 4 in the first, I go, it's a good start, but it's not enough. If you don't score again, you're not going to win this game.
Yeah.
And for a while, then, you know, it stayed 4-1. I go, well, maybe I'm wrong about that. No, I was right. They needed to score more runs. Of course, they did. It took a walk-off home run. We'll get the call of the walk-off and the rest of the action last night in our Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Now the 2-2, Yelich swings, grounds it to first base, Arise has it in front of the bag, coming home, the slide and the tag, not in time. Durang just in, feet first, ahead of the tag from Luis Campusano. Padres, of course, We'll take a look and see if they want to challenge it. It was a bang, bang play at home plate. Manny waits. Here it comes. And Machado swings, hits it in the air to deep right field. Frelick is back towards the corner. He's at the wall. Looking up. Gonna go! Three-run homer, Manny Machado. Just like that, the Padres lead it 3-1 here in the first. 0-2 hit in the air. Deep to right field towards the pole. Jackson Merrill has done it again. Ninth of the season for Merrill. Goes deep in back-to-back games and has now homered three times in his last two games here at Petco Park. It's 4-1. 1-2, Adames swings, hits it in the air to deep center. Merrill sprinting straight back at the wall. It's going to go. Line drive, home run, straightaway center field. Team leading 13th of the season for Adames. This is a one-run game now, 4-3 in the fifth. That's it in the air to deep left field. Forget it. Yelich not even going to turn around. Second deck in left. And Fernando, with his 14th of the year, extends the lead. 446 feet. And his third hit of the night. Padres in front, 5-3. Here's the pitch. Swung on, lined into left field. Yelich to his left. Lost it in the lights. And it gets beyond him. Fernando's racing to third. He's going to be waved. Tatis on his way home. The throw is cut. And another miscue defensively for the Brewers gives the Padres their sixth run of the night. 1-1 the pitch. Durang swings, lines it the other way, and that is down in front of Peralta. Base hit. They are going to wave Ortiz around, and he will score just ahead of the throw. RBI single, Bryce Durang, his third knock of the night. It is now 6-4 here in the eighth inning, and you got to figure that'll be all for Wandy Peralta. Here's the pitch from Estrada. It bounces in, kicks away, and the run is going to score. Yelich in from third. Behind the play, Bowers goes to second, a wild pitch, and now a 6-5 game. Here's the 2-2. Hoskins swings, muscles it in the air to deep left field as Zokar's going back. He will leap up, can't make the catch, hits against the wall. This will tie the game. Bowers has scored. Hoskins at his second with an RBI double, and it's 6-6. Pitch number 7 on the way, and Cronenworth swings, hits it in the air to deep right field. Way back, gonna go! For the third consecutive game here at Petco Park, the Padres hit a walk-off home run. Higashioka and Merrill. And now Jake Cronenworth, who throws his helmet as he approaches home plate. The Padres beat the Brewers 7-6.
Pretty impressive, pretty amazing. Grit squad, strikes. Especially coming back. Fought the whole way down. You know, Mazur battled. Get the lead, right back, extend, have it late, can't hold on to it,
right.
And just found a way. And clearly a big swing by Crony and third walk-off in a row at home.
Right.
Good stuff, memorable, historic probably.
Indeed it was. After a little bit of research, they found out that is the first time in Padres franchise history that they've had three consecutive home games end with walk-off home runs. Of course, the first two happened at the end of the last homestand against the Oakland A's. Kyle Higashioka, Jackson Merrill, and now Jake Cronenworth keeps the streak going. Who's going to make it tonight, four in a row, with another walk-off? Do we have to have a walk-off every day?
We can just win a normal game and hold a lead in the ninth and have our bullpen not give up any runs. And yeah, that would be the preferable prescription for a victory tonight. But we all realize baseball does not work that way.
Hey, if you're going to blow a lead, at least have the walk-off after that.
The feeling of deflation when they tied the game off of Estrada in my home by me was painful. I mean, it was painful. I just looked up and I said, please, please don't do this. I'm begging you, don't do this. They did it.
Let's start at the beginning, though, because not heard in that highlight package was probably the most important play of the game other than the walk-off home run. And that was in the first inning when Adam Mazur was
dying.
In trouble. A run was in. The bases were loaded. He was on the ropes already. You could easily see that getting away from him. The Padres having to go to a bullpen day in the first or second inning, and they would not have been able to overcome that. And Manny Machado started an incredible double play to get out, I think it was on Hoskins, to get out of the first inning with just the one run allowed. He made a terrific play, And then the throw to second with a great scoop and turn by Jake Cronenworth. I mean, just to make that catch and get the one out is probably above and beyond. But then to make the turn and then Arraez made a nice scoop, you never thought that that even had a chance to be a double play. And it really stabilized things and, of course, allowed the Padres to take that 4-1 lead in the bottom of the first inning. But that game could have gone very bad, very quickly, if not for a terrific play by Manny Machado.
Yeah, I mean, that's correct me if I'm wrong. You can't make that play if you're on the IL. Is that right? I don't know much about baseball, but I do know if you're on the IL, that's not one.
I don't think Donovan Solano makes that play at third. Ben. Okay, he doesn't make that play at third. Probably nobody else on the roster makes that play at third.
Huh. Interesting.
That was a Manny Machado special.
Interesting.
And then,
very interesting.
And then he goes the other way, you know, moments later for the three-run shot. And
now, hold on. Is that, can you do that?
You cannot.
No. Oh.
You cannot.
I was told that's where he should be. Yikes.
Purple. I mean, there was a conversation.
Purple says half the roster makes that play. Purple, I know who you are. Don't be an idiot.
Should I put him in timeout?
No, you don't put him
in timeout. Is that Bo? That's an easy catch.
Yeah, Bo, that's an easy double play. That's an easy double play. No, the pick from Crony was nasty. I mean, as nasty. Now, that's, you know, you second baseman, you're now a first baseman on that play. And Jake's got plenty of reps over it at the one bag and makes just a fantastic pick, turn, gets a guy by a half a step, and out of that inning, man, which is huge. I honestly was watching last night, and you could feel it, like, spiraling on Major. I don't know what to make of Adam Major. I don't look at him and say, well, listen, he's got really... I don't look at him and say he's got really, really good stuff. He just needs some time to work it out. I honestly, Benny, I look, and with the walks and stuff, the lack of control, and the fat pitches, man. Fat pitches. He threw a couple of decent sliders, a decent changeup, but, man, the some of the sliders were spinning right in the zone, and the fastballs were fat.
I think what is hopefully encouraging is that it's not like that was ever a part of his game in the minors. He doesn't walk people.
Right.
It seems to be maybe a, you know, big moment pressure, you know, trying to adjust to the big league level, being too fine. I think at some point Adam Major is going to be a big league pitcher. I don't see him as an ace of the staff type, but I can see him as a, you know, end of the rotation.
Yeah.
Solid starter, but there's still some work to be done, you know, to get there in the big league level.
And he did pretty well.
He stabilized after that and nearly made it through five innings.
Made it through five.
Until the two-run home run by Adames. But I would imagine that was his last start. He will probably go back down. I would think today you send him back down to AAA and you call up a bullpen arm to have another option out of what is a fatigued bullpen. And then in 4 days, you can call Yu Darvish up off the injured list to make the next start. But that would give you an extra arm available for the next 4 days or so.
Yeah, and you wonder what the corresponding move is going to be. Could be Logan Glaspie. Could be Tom Cosgrove. You have no idea. But they definitely need some help in there ASAP because the bullpen is 100% battered right now, man. And I was looking up some numbers of some of the guys in there. And look, as much as we want Yuki Matsui to be the guy, I just don't know that he's the guy right now. I'm not saying he's never going to be the guy, but Ben, he's got a 4 ERA in 34 appearances. Okay, he's pitched 31 and a third innings. He has struck out 27, not bad. He's walked 20 batters. 20 batters. That is unacceptable.
And so many of those feel like they were the first batter of the inning.
Yeah, man, 100%.
Which just puts you in such a bad spot. Now, I haven't seen the numbers, but it feels like when Yuki Matsui comes in and the Padres are down 3.
I got him. You want him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Low leverage.
Yeah.
Hitters 163 with a 486 OPS. Perfect. Low leverage situations. High leverage, 241, 760 OPS. Of the 42 batters he's faced in high leverage, he struck out 12. But he's also walked 9, allowed 2 doubles and a triple. Not quite the setup stuff that you're looking for from Yuki Matsui. And, which is fine. I mean, like, use him in the role in which he is best accustomed. I don't know that it's the role he was used in last night, as much as we want it to be that way. As devastating as that splitter looked early in the year, if you can't land it for, if you can't keep it in the zone to make it look like a strike, you don't have the overpowering other pitches to get out.
You know, last night's game was such a microcosm of the Padres' bullpen because Matsui actually didn't give up a run because Wandy Peralta came in and struck out Gary Sanchez. Great job by Wandy Peralta. But then Wandy comes out the next inning and walks two batters.
Yep.
And then one run comes around to score. And then De Los Santos comes in and he gets a big strikeout. And then Jeremiah Estrada, obviously, who and Mike Schilt said this after the game.
Because yeah, this people is what, wondering I, why, what I was curious about.
Why Jeremiah Estrada? Why not Robert Suarez? Both had been used the previous two. Jeremiah Estrada had pitched 4 of 5 days now. But Mike Schilt said, I went to both of those guys to just check on their availability before the game. And I said, be honest. You know, how do you feel? And Robert Suarez said, I would love to be able to go, but I think I need a day. And Schilt said, you got it. Robert, you are off. You got that quote
the fact
here?
That Estrada was able to take the ball.
I give him a ton of credit, man. You know, we were both him and Suarez had gone back to back, took their temperature before the game. Want to be mindful of it. Suarez was honest, like, look, man, I love this group because I always say they can go, but we always, you know, like, hey, no, really, how do you feel? And he's like, I could use a day. So we clearly respect that. Jeremiah said, I'm good. I feel good. I can take the ball. And, you know, he had a longer inning than we'd liked. It was the last hitter he was going to face. But, man, my admiration for him taking the ball and doing that is very high.
I think one of the ways that could have gone out of control was when they all came out and met with Major about Willie Adames. And essentially, you know what the message there was. It was, all right, one swing, and they're right back in this game. Adam, we need you to execute here. And when Willie hit it, I just immediately thought, well, who could have seen that coming right there? I'm not putting that on Schilt at all. Willie Adames is a really good player, put a good swing on a pitch that was up in the zone and pounded it out, man. And it just, but when you don't have a ton of options down there that are well rested, ready to go, managing this bullpen can be a nightmare.
You know, it's easy to say Jeremiah Estrada failed because he blew the save, he gave up the lead, and that's not your job when you come into the ninth inning. However, and I was listening to Sammy Leavitt last night on the postgame show, and I think it's a good point that you need to get 27 outs to win the baseball game. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, hold everybody in check, but you have to get to the finish line. And the Padres needed someone to get to the finish line. And even though he gave up the two runs, he did come up with two big strikeouts to at least get it to 6-6 to the bottom of the ninth where Jake Cronenworth won it. So while he didn't do what the way you would like it to be done, he did enough that the Padres were able to win that game.
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, didn't cough it up.
Sometimes you have to win games like that. That was always going to be a game, as I said. You got to score 7-8 runs to win that game. With Major on the mound against a Brewers team like that, that was never going to be a 3-1 win. It wasn't.
No, there's no way.
And the Padres got to the finish line. It wasn't always pretty. It wasn't exactly how you draw it up, but they got to the finish line of the game last night, and that's what's most important. The finish, of course, was fantastic. We already heard Jesse's call. Paulie's got a couple of other options for us here.
Yes. How about we start? Let's go to Don. We'll start with the TV call.
3-2 pitch to Cronenworth. In the air to deep right field for Cronenworth. Back That's towards it. The pole. Into the crowd zone. And gone. Padres walk it off.
You knew Don would work the crone zone somewhere in there.
No, I had to.
Well, let's see. We have the Brewers call.
Brewers television
call. That's not going to be as happy.
Oh,
that's all you need, really.
Deep right field. It is a fair ball and a walk-off homer. He hung a slider. And Cronenworth makes him pay.
It was a hung pitch.
It was very hung. That was very hung.
And then, of course, we can't do the montage of walk-offs without our friends from Korea.
Picote. Goodbye!
Fantastic. I would also like to, who's their second baseman, Terang?
Terang.
I would like to thank him for booting that double play ball that Crony hit in the first inning.
Yeah, you know, it's oftentimes baseball is the game where if you take advantage of the mistake, the Brewers couldn't take advantage of Adam Azier in the first. The Padres took advantage of a tiny bobble that allowed them to keep the first inning going.
And still damn near got Crony at first. I mean, it was a close play at first base, but holy smokes, Manny comes up next, hits the three-run bomb, and Padres are off and rolling. But what a that was a hell of a game. Hell of a first game in what should be a good series. Holy cow.
All right, we got Dylan Cease on the mound for game two tonight against former Padre Colin Ray. Talk about that a little bit later. When we come back, we've got Take on Woods, your chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Don't do this and more all ahead. An hour number two of Bennett Woods next on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.